chapter number 10. We're going to look at verse 13, 14, and 15. This is where we'll begin. I'm going to have you turn in your Bible to a couple other places. But we'll begin here, 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 and verse number 13. Let's stand together for the reading of the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful, encouraging verse here, Lord. It gives us a window and an understanding into some of the things that you would ask us to go through in life. And Lord, how you manage that and how you prepare us for it and how you go through it with us and how you offer us help even during times of great testing and temptation. And so, Lord, as we studied this, Lord, you said that this portion of Scripture is for wise men. So make us the wise listeners this morning. Help us to discern, Lord, the Scriptures, and help us to become wiser from having been here this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. The last month or so, I've been working on a Bible study, and from that Bible study, I've written 10 lessons. I'm not going to preach that series and may not this year. But it did so much for me personally, and most of the Bible study that I do for personal benefit, and then from that flows a lot of times things that I feel like I need to bring to our congregation to help all of us. But I finally finished these 10 lessons, and if I was to, title that series of lessons, it would be Understanding and Overcoming Temptation. Understanding and Overcoming Temptation. I kind of went through and cherry-picked from those 10 lessons some of the truths, put them together in a message for this morning. And I want to help our congregation because temptation and facing temptation is something that every single one of us have to go through. It's part of the Christian experience. It's part of the Christian life. There's not a person that can stand and truthfully say, "Preacher, you know what? Here it is. Wow, we've made it almost to spring. Almost to spring, not quite, almost to spring. And I've gone through 2013 and I've not been tempted one time yet to do wrong. Wow, really, I need to hang more around you because you're doing something right." No, the honest truth is we have to face temptation every day as a Christian. And God understands that, and there's a reason for it. And I'm going to give you just some Bible principles concerning this so that we can better understand temptation and so that we can overcome temptation. Let me say, first of all, temptation is common to all men. Temptation is common to all men. 1 Corinthians 10:13, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." Sometimes as a young person, you teenagers will face a temptation, and maybe it's the first time in your life that you face that particular temptation. And because it's the first time you faced it, if you're not careful, you can feel like, "Well, my goodness sakes, I'm probably the first human being that's ever lived that's had to face this kind of temptation." No, it's just because you haven't lived real long, and there are a lot of firsts that happen during your youth as far as tricks that the devil tries to play on you. But I promise you this, you are not going to face any type of temptation that has not been faced before by men. Temptation is common to man. Common, that means after the manner of mankind. Many have faced the same temptation that you're facing. Some have overcome it. Some have succumbed to it. But it has been faced before, and people have been victorious in it. And by the way, you can be victorious also. Everyone faces temptation. Many have faced the same thing that you're facing right now. So take encouragement. I think sometimes when we're going through temptation, the devil wants to isolate us in our mind and get us to think that we're the only ones that has ever been asked to go through this. Oh, I can't believe. Why would God ask me to go through this? And the honest truth is, he's asked many before you, and he'll ask many after you. And temptation is just common to all men. Now, something else, and I want you to mark 1 Corinthians chapter 10 because we'll come back to it. But I'd like you to go to James chapter number 1, and I want to teach you just a little bit about temptation, because I think if we're going to overcome temptation, we do need to understand it, have an understanding of it. Number one, temptation is common to all men. In James chapter number 1, we learn this: God has never tempted a man with evil. Temptation to do evil never comes from God. In James chapter 1 and verse number 13, let no man say when he is tempted, watch this, I am tempted of God. Now don't ever say that. The Bible says, let no man say that. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. A lot of times when we're facing things, if we're not careful, we begin to fall for one of Satan's most diabolical tricks. Satan would love for us to blame God for tempting us with evil. God, this isn't fair that you're doing this to me. Well, wait a minute, God's not doing it to you. I want to stand in defense of God. God gets blamed for so many wrong things and bad things. Can I say this? No wrong thing has ever come from God, and no bad thing has ever come from God. Matter of fact, verse 17 of that same chapter, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variables, neither shadow of turning. Now what we need to understand is this: if good comes into our life, it's from God. If evil comes into our life, it's not from God. Well, folks, listen to me. If it's not from God, where did it come from? Boy, this is important. You know what? Satan would love for us to blame God for tempting us with evil. It's almost like the kid that did the wrong and wanted to blame his brother so he'd get in trouble. The devil brings evil into our life and tempts us with evil and then whispers into our ear, hey, if God loved you, he wouldn't have done that to you. He didn't do that to you. Remember this, folks. There is a tempter. He's identified in the Bible as the devil himself. Let me read some verses. Matthew 4:3. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Who was that tempter? The devil, Matthew chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians 3:5. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. The tempter in the Bible always refers to the devil. How about James 1:13? We've just read that. It emphatically exonerates God of any responsibility or involvement in tempting a man with evil. We see James 1:17. We see in that verse that God is credited with just the opposite. He is the source of every good gift and every perfect gift. That's what comes down from above. That's what comes from the Father of lights. There's no variables. There's no shadow of turning. God is the source of every good and perfect gift. He is the Father of lights. In him is no darkness. God is forever consistent in this. He never varies nor is tempted to vary from it. Never will God be the cause of evil. Never will this shadow his character. God is good and generous and is the ultimate source of every gift you have ever received that is beneficial and that helps bring you to Christ's likeness. God is good all the time. God's good all the time. Temptation is best defined as putting to proof, to test, a solicitation or provocation to do evil. God would never solicit or provoke a man to do evil. There is one who is clearly identified in the Bible as the tempter, who has been doing the very thing that he's doing to you ever since the Garden of Eden. He is none other than the devil himself. Now, let me help you, young people, because I think if you're going to overcome temptation, you have to learn to understand temptation. Okay, when a temptation is happening in your life at that moment, what you have to understand is that there is someone behind that orchestrating it. Watch this. You are at that moment in the presence of evil influence. It's the devil behind the curtain. It's not God up in heaven. Okay? It's the devil or one of his demons, one of his devils that's there pressuring you at that moment and presenting that top time that opportunity for evil. It's not God. Okay? And so one of the things that you have to do is you have to understand immediately what's happening and who's behind it. Okay? Now, if you're going to overcome temptation, I think the first thing that ought to pop into your mind is, first of all, wait a minute. I'm not the first one that's ever faced this. This is no new thing. The tempter's been busy since the Garden of Eden. And in this moment, as I'm tempted right now to do evil, if I'm tempted to be involved in something or do something or say something that would be displeasing to the Lord, I promise you right here in my midst, if I could have the veils lifted from my eyes and I could see the supernatural, it is Satan himself or one of his cohorts that has orchestrated this moment. Now, wait a minute. Watch this. Are you going to reach over and take his hand and let him lead you right into the evil? Whose side are you going to be on now? Are you going to seek the escape that God, we're going to find out in a minute, that God always provides in these moments? Are you going to join with God or are you going to join with the devil? Are you going to follow God or are you going to follow the devil? Are you going to give in to God, surrender to his will, or are you going to surrender to the devil? And so I think if we as Christians would just understand, listen, if you're going to overcome it, you've got to understand it. Okay, well, as I go through life, and listen, I drive by a billboard, and that billboard has something on it that I shouldn't see. Listen, it wasn't God that orchestrated that. It was the devil that orchestrated that. Now, I'm either going to become his slave and his servant and obey him in that moment, or I'm going to obey the Lord and look the other direction and drive on by and sing under my breath, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." Listen, you've got to decide whose side you're going to be on. Listen, you know what? Why are you letting the devil literally treat you like you're a little puppet and he's got the strings and every time he gets you to present some evil, you just fold like a lawn chair? Listen, why don't you decide you're going to resist the devil? He's the one that's trying to destroy your life. He's the one trying to get you in trouble. He's the one that's trying to get you to sin. It didn't have anything to do with God, okay? And so God has never tempted a man with evil. Say, preacher, couldn't God stop the devil? Watch this. God will at times, number three, God will at times suffer you to be tempted. Now, that's the phrase that's used here. Suffer you to be tempted. Let's go back to, if you look at that, 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Did you come to listen to the Bible and learn a little bit this morning? Are you with me? Are you awake? Verse number 13, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted. Now, listen, doesn't that sound, listen, what the Bible's saying is that he will suffer you to be tempted. He's not going to suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able, but he will at times allow the devil to tempt you. Well, see, then it's God's fault. No, I'm sorry, folks. But part of living in this life, part of facing what's out in the world, and comes with an understanding that, you know what, there's evil in this world. And God is going to at times let you face that and in order to grow you and test you and help you and strengthen your Christian life. See, the devil, I like this, by the way. The devil has to ask God for permission to test his children. We won't take the time to turn there, but most of you know the story of Job in Job chapter 1, verse 6 through 12. And you know what? When the devil wanted to test Job and tempt Job, he had to go get a permission slip from God. So God suffered him to be tempted, but he also, watch this, God also puts a hedge of protection around each of his children. And even when God gives Satan access, he places boundaries on what Satan can and can't do. And by the way, watch this, he also will not allow Satan to construct a temptation where there is not a way for us to escape. So you say, well, the Lord could have stopped this. Listen, he didn't stop it, but he manages it. First of all, the devil can't do anything without coming and asking him. And when he asked him, he said, okay, this is how you can test Job, and this is how you can't test Job. And by the way, one of the things that God will never do, because he's promised, is putting us in a situation where there's no way that we can leave that situation victorious. And so God manages the situation so that we can learn to put our faith and trust in Him. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. Now, listen right up here, and I want to help some of you. This whole thing about, well, preacher, I'm sorry, but I just couldn't help it. That's not true. God's never allowed you to be in a situation where there was not an escape. Well, remember in the 70s? The devil made me do it. The devil can't make you do anything. Okay? He's never going to put you in a situation where there is not a way for you to come out victorious. Are you listening to me? Have you got this? And so although the Lord might suffer you to be tempted, He's not going to tempt you, but He might suffer you to be tempted, allow the devil some limited access into your life. He'll put parameters on it. He'll put restrictions on it. And He refuses to ever allow the devil to put you in a no-win situation. So this whole idea, well, God just put me in a situation where I just couldn't resist. No, He's never done that. He's never done that. Not one time. Now, the Lord will never allow more temptation than we are able to endure and will always provide a way to escape. Listen, if you fell to temptation, it's not God's fault. I promise you, if we'll go back and put it under a microscope, there was a way for you to escape. There was a side door open. There was divine strength available. There was God and angels at beckoning call. Okay? Don't ever say, well, you know what? God put me in a no-win. No. God never allows that to happen. So even though God allows Satan access to us at times, He'll always make sure that there's a way for us to overcome the temptation. Watch this. If we choose to do so. Say, preacher, how do I prepare myself properly for those times of temptations? And how can I be ready for those things? And how can I make sure that I'm attuned to the Holy Spirit of God and ready to look for that side door of escape? Let's go over to Matthew chapter number 6, if you will. Matthew chapter number 6. It's going to be kind of a sermon / Bible study this morning, and I want you to move around in the scriptures a little bit with me, because there's some things that we need to learn. If we're going to overcome temptation, God wants you to understand what's happening in that moment. He wants to teach us what to do in that moment. Let me give you this thought. Preacher, when I face temptation, what am I to do? First of all, let me suggest this. Start every single morning praying to be delivered from temptation. Start every morning praying to be delivered from temptation. Here we see in this portion of Scripture, Matthew chapter 6, verse 8, the Lord's Prayer. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Watch this. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I mentioned this when we were giving you the outline of the 7 prayer requests Jesus asked us to pray. I hope you've taken that, and I hope that you're doing it. There's little bookmarks, by the way, back in the foyer on the table there, if you didn't get one, that has those 7 prayer requests on there. One of the things that Jesus commanded us to pray for, and I think you ought to pray daily for, is this: and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Luke 22:40, and when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. Jesus' instruction to his disciples. Here's a thought. The best way to overcome temptation is to avoid it in the first place. Avoid it in the first place. The Bible commands us to pray not to be led into temptation. Jesus instructed his disciples to pray that ye enter not into temptation. I think a part of every morning before you leave the house ought to be this prayer request: Lord, please lead me not into temptation. Watch this. But if it is unavoidable, deliver me from evil. That's what this verse is saying. Lord, please, I pray that you would not lead me into temptation, not allow it to happen. But if it is part of your will, if it's unavoidable, then deliver me from evil. Now, why should you pray that at the beginning of every day? As I mentioned a couple weeks ago when we preached on this, it makes you watchful. You know what? It makes you walk out of the house thinking, I just prayed that prayer. A temptation's going to happen or could happen today. Even though I've asked the Lord to protect me as much as possible, there probably is going to be at some point in this day an allowance for temptation. Lord, please block as much of that as is possible. But Lord, if I have to face it, deliver me from evil. Insulating yourself against temptation begins with prayer. A prayerless Christian is an easy target for the devil. A prayerless Christian is an easy target for the devil. Oh, church, listen, I want to help you so much. You're going to walk out of the day. You're going to walk out of the house into your day. And you're never going to touch your Bible. And you're never going to bow your heart. And you're never going to pray and ask for guidance and help and protection. You're just going to take on another day without the Lord. You think that you're in your own strength any match for the devil? Come on now. Prayer strengthens us spiritually. It keeps us in tune with God. I believe you ought to pray this prayer every morning. Lord, lead me not into temptation, but Lord, if it's unavoidable, if it's part of your will, your allowance, please deliver me from evil. So we must pray to be delivered from temptation. Number two, we must be watchful for possible temptation. Watchful. Matthew 26, 41, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. So wait a minute, it's not just praying. Now we have been admonished to watch. Christ adds watch to the command to pray. One of the marks of Christian maturity is a diligent watchfulness. 1 Corinthians 16, 13, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong. Colossians 4, 2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5, 6, therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. I mentioned when I was preaching on the Sunday night, I was preaching on this matter of the demise of masculinity, and I was telling our young men, young ladies, no more talking. Okay, I've had a couple of reports from adults. Some of you just don't understand no talking, but you're going to understand it here, okay? I've had many of our people try to correct some of you, and I tried not to embarrass you, but you're not going to talk during the sermon, okay? You're just not going to do it. All right, so no more. But on this matter of the demise of masculinity, one of the things I said to our young men is the difference between a boy and a man is this matter of watchfulness. I said a boy will just run out and, you know, he doesn't look for danger. He's just thinking about what he wants to do next. And you know what? That's what children do. But as you grow and you mature and you become a young man, one of the things that God gives you, and he created you with it, was this spirit, this responsibility of protection. We're supposed to provide, men are supposed to provide for their family and are supposed to protect their family. So you young men, as you get to a certain age, you don't just wander into every situation and not look for danger, okay? You watch, okay? Everybody else, the kids can be playing and the wife might be busy, but you know what a man's doing when he's with his family? And by the way, you get to the point where you do it, you're not thinking about it, it's just part of who you are, but you're always looking around for possible danger. You start heading to the parking lot. You're watching the cars. You start heading to the, you're watching the individuals, different people. If you begin to sense a situation that could be dangerous, you know what you do? You divert yourself or divert your family in a different direction. That's why you young people need to learn to obey mom and dad without question. Okay, your dad says, you need to come with me. Let's go this way. Well, I want to know. Wait a minute. You're supposed to obey your father instantly. He doesn't have to explain why. He's seen something that you're not mature enough to see. He's directing you away from it. And half of you spent all your time arguing. And they lay down the rules in your home to safeguard you. Well, Dad, I don't understand why I can't do this, why I can't do that. You don't have to understand. The Bible doesn't say obey if you understand. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Listen, some of you need to stop arguing with mom and dad. Okay, every time they lay a rule down, you need to stop arguing with them. You know, I don't understand. Well, you're not going to understand. But so a father would say to them, may son to a child, you know, that's getting ready to run out in front of a car. Your mama would say to them, stop. And some of you have ignored your mother so long, one of these days I'm going to do one of your funerals. Are you listening to me? You've got a disobedient spirit. Whatever mom says, dad says, you want to do the opposite. You don't understand. When they command you to do something, they need instant obedience because sometimes there's a danger that you don't see. Are you getting this? And so a mature man, a masculine man, looks for danger, and he diverts his family away from that danger. That's what watchfulness means. Now listen. Every single Christian in here, though, needs to go out into the world every day with that same watchful spirit. Okay, you've prayed, lead me not into temptation. You know the devil's out there. Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And yet you're going to walk out and not be watchful of it, not pay attention to the possibilities. What are the differences between an immature Christian and a mature Christian is their level of watchfulness. Proverbs 22:3, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Not only is that verse found in 22:7 of Proverbs, it's found in 27:12, the exact same verse twice. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Now that means, listen, as you're going through life, you've prayed, lead me not into temptation. You've prayed, deliver me for evil. God doesn't say just pray, he says watch and pray. So you've prayed that, and God says, all right, I want to answer that prayer, but you have a responsibility to watch. And so as you're going through life and you look ahead toward down the path that you're walking, if there's a potential danger, potential opportunity for temptation, and you foresee that ahead of you, then what I'm going to do is I foresee that that's there. Yep, there he is right there. There's the old devil looking in the back window right there, and he's waiting there to tempt me with something. Brother Jeff, actually. So you know what the Bible says? The simple just, you know, they just pass on, and there he is. There, look at that evil man right there waiting to tempt me. So if I'm wise and I foresee, watch this, what's wrong with going this way? What's wrong with going this way? Bible says he hideth himself. What that means is, listen, he avoids the situation. Watch this. Some of you keep succumbing to temptation because you keep going to the place where the temptation is. If you're going to go to the place where the temptation is, you're putting yourself in a high-risk situation. I don't think the mark of a good Christian is his ability to face temptation and overcome it. I think the mark of a wise Christian is his ability to avoid the situation in the first place. Okay? It seems like every time I hang around this certain person, I get in trouble. Are you listening to me? I got an idea. Stop hanging around that certain person. Seems like every time I go to this place, I do something I shouldn't have. Here's a brainstorm. Stop going to that place. Okay? Listen, if you want to live godly, you might want to hang around godly people. If you want to do right, then you ought to go places where people want to do right. Okay? You're not going to hang out down at the bar on Friday night and come out of there unscathed. Well, I don't go in there to drink. I just drink Coke. You may not go in there to drink, but sooner or later you will if you hang around that temptation. Okay, if you hang around whoremongers, you're going to be one. Listen, one man said this, show me your friends today and I'll show you what you'll be tomorrow. Well, preacher, I just don't understand why I'm having so many difficulties. It seems like I struggle so much to stand up for the Lord. Well, wait a minute, what are you doing? Okay, if you failed one day, listen, we're all going to fail, but if you failed one day, then you ought to have learned something that day. And if I went down that path and faced that situation and I wasn't strong enough to face up to it, I got an idea. Instead of doing the same thing again tomorrow, why don't I choose a different path? Okay, and so this idea of overcoming temptation, you need to have a watchfulness about you. Twice the same proverb is proclaimed, a wise young person must learn to foresee the evil. You must look beyond the moment and understand the consequences of that moment and how it might affect the rest of your life. You must look ahead, down the road, change course if necessary to avoid the evil. You must learn to walk your path, but with your eye on what's up ahead. That's why Ephesians 5:15 says this: see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Now, I've just given you a lot of wisdom right there. I hope some of you will take it. You know, young people, when you go to Walmart, come on, young man, you go to Walmart, there's certain aisles you just shouldn't go walking down. Come on, you know where the evil is. Hide yourself. There's certain stores you have no business going in. You got to go to the mall, first of all, God help you if you have to go to the mall. But if you have to go to the mall, there's certain areas of that mall you ought to just stay away from. You know, hanging around, mall rats, hanging around at the mall. That's what they call the young people around. Mall rats. Then they wonder why they're always in trouble. That's why some of you young people, Mom, Dad, I'm going to go to Terre Haute. What are you going to do? I'm just going to go. What are you going to do? Where are you going? I'm just going to go hang out. Hang out where? Let's go hang out at the mall. And some of you parents ain't got enough sense to tell them no. Come on, I'm trying to help you. But that's what everybody does. Well, everybody's pretty much a mess if you haven't noticed. The average young person is a mess out there. Come on now, look at me. They're not staying pure. They're not staying clean. They're not avoiding sin. They're ending up in tragedy. That's what normal's going to get you. Okay, you got to go to Terre Haute, then what are you going for? First of all, you know, with the price of gas, we've got to kind of figure that, ask ourselves, do we even need to go anymore? You know, I used to take several trips. Now we're like, all right, how many of these can we do at one time, you know? May end up, before it's over, taking the horse and buggy once a month to Terre Haute and loading up supplies and bringing it home. I don't know what's going to happen here. But you know what? Have a plan. Well, I'm just going to go look. Look at what? I'm just going to go hang out. Hang out at what? What I'm saying here, folks, is listen, with the Christian, the reason that some, you know, well, she must just be stronger than me. He must just be stronger than me. I guess I'm just weak. No, they're smarter than you. They may not be one bit stronger than you, but they're wise enough not to put themselves in the situation you keep putting yourself in. Okay? That's why, parents, listen to me. If you're going to have internet in your house, I mean, you know what? Moms, dads, you're going to decide on where you draw whatever and what you have and what you don't have. But if you're going to have it on there, good night. This whole idea of you're just letting your kids sit there and surf the web. I don't know where they come up with that. Surf the web, you know. Surf the web. I don't even know where that came from. You're just going to wander around, click on this, and click on this, and click on this, and click on this. And you know what? You ain't going to be five or six clicks into it, and the devil's going to have you. Listen, come on. You say, you never use the internet? Listen, it's like going to the store for me. I know what I want. If I need to go find out information, I know what I want. I go get it. I secure it, and I get off of it. Okay? We don't have internet at our house. We just live so much far out in the boondocks that I don't think you got to get through a satellite or something. We just don't have it at our house. If we could get it, I wouldn't have it at my house. I have the opportunity to have it here at the church. Brother Klein's built so many safeguards into the internet that we have here at the church. By the way, we're on X Watch. Everything that I log in on, every place I go, goes to Brother Klein and goes to my wife. Yes, sir. Sir, look right up here. If that was true in your life, what would your wife and somebody else be seeing? Hey, preacher, don't you trust yourself? I don't trust me. I don't trust the devil. You trust your flesh, you know what? You're going to give in to your flesh. What are you talking about? I'm talking about make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Some of you have been fighting your whole life against rules, so you get old enough and you break down all the barriers because, you know what? You didn't want to be a legalist. How you doing? How you doing now? Those rules and those walls were built there for your protection. A sign of maturity. And being a man isn't destroying that thing that's protecting you. It's having a spirituality to understand the things that are protecting you and building them even higher in your life. I'm sick of tragedies. I'm sick of horror stories. I'm sick of Christian people crashing and burning. I'm sick of marriages self-destructing. I mean it. Men, listen to me. It's about time we stop this idea of nobody needs to know where I am, what I'm doing, or what I'm looking at, or what I'm saying, and you think that that's some kind of mark of maturity. You know what? You ought to build accountability and transparency into every area of your life. Okay? Are you listening to me? Now, what I'm trying to do is help you. You know, the idea of overcoming that temptation, somewhere along the line, the Lord's going to allow it, but he's going to have a way of escape. But listen, I'm not talking about what the Lord allows. Some of us are pursuing temptation opportunities that God never intended us to have to face. So we have to remember that we want to be watchful and we want to hide ourselves. We want to show prudence. We want to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Let me give you another thought. We must remember that if we fall into temptation, we usually cause someone else to fall also. Please listen to this. One of the things that ought to just help you pray and beg God to do right and be right is this. We must remember that if we fall into temptation, we usually cause someone else to fall with us. Peter was tempted to quit. John chapter 21. He was discouraged and disillusioned. Life hadn't turned out like he thought. So we read in John 21, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Canaan and Galilee and the sons of Zebedee, that's James and John, and two other of his disciples which aren't named. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go fishing. They say unto him, what? We also go with thee. He'd forsaken the life of a fisherman to become a follower of Christ. Remember when he left his nets, forsook his nets to follow Jesus. But now he was tempted to go back, tempted to return to the life he had lived before he had met the Master. But giving in to this temptation did not only alter the direction of his life, it influenced six other disciples to follow him. Oh, I want you to get a hold of this. Bless your hearts. Listen to me. No man is an island. The choices we make affect others. A Christian young person, a Christian adult who's faithful influences others to faithfulness. A quitter always causes someone else to quit. Sad to think that giving in to a temptation might be something that you someday recover from, but the one you influence to do the same might never find their way back. And I think what you ought to remember, each and every young person in here, is, well, I'm just going to go out and do my own thing and I don't care what the Bible says, blah, 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 blah. Listen, it's not going to be just you hurt. Somebody in your family, somebody that's looking up to you, somebody that counts you as a friend, you're going to influence them also. And you know what? One of these days you might wake up and turn around and get right with God, but they may never recover from the decision that you led them to. You led them to it. I don't want to stand before God with that on my hand, brother. I don't want to stand before God not having been faithful, but I sure don't want to stand before God causing a bunch of other Christians that had so much. You hear that? James and John, some of the disciples that were the strongest and had the most. James, watch this. James was already tagged by God to be the pastor of the church there in Jerusalem. It hadn't happened yet, but that was down the road. That was part of God's will for him. Peter says, I go fishing. James said, well, I'll go too. John was going to write the book of Revelation and three other epistles. And Peter says, I go fishing. And John, I go with you also. Are you listening? Are you listening? That young person that you lead astray, you don't know what kind of potential they're going to have for God. And it's going to be on your hands. Listen, one of these days it's not going to be just what you sacrifice not accomplishing in your life by doing wrong. It's going to be what you also cause other people to forfeit in their lives because they followed you in doing wrong. Now you ought to contemplate that. When you're standing there facing a temptation, the devil's whispering in your ear trying to get you to blame God for this situation, and I can't help it, and I guess I don't have a choice. You better understand that something very demonic is happening in that moment, and it is going to influence much more than just the immediate. It's going to, and it very well could influence long-term. There could be long-term consequences in your life, but wait a minute. There's always those few that are watching. And they're going to be influenced one way or another by what you do. Let me also give you this very encouraging thing in closing. We should remind ourselves at that moment of temptation that God promises a crown to those who overcome. James 1:12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. God reserves special rewards to those who overcome temptation. Everyone has to face temptation. It's common to men, but a champion Christian through Christ overcomes. Seven letters were written by Christ to seven different churches. We're studying them in our Sunday school hour as we're studying the book of Revelation. All faced something. All faced either a temptation or a testing. Jesus made some amazing promises to those who would overcome, overcome, overcome. Revelation 2:7, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life which is in the midst of paradise. Revelations 2:11, he that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Revelations 2:17, to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden man, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth them. Revelation 2:26, he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Revelation 3:5, he that overcometh the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Revelation 3:12, he that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. I will write upon him my new name. Then in the very last chapter of the book of Revelation, this wonderful promise, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. I will be his God. He shall be my son. Now, what's the ending word of exhortation for this message? This is the ending word, overcome. Overcome. I can't. Oh, yes, you can. But God, no, don't bring God into this. It wasn't God that set this situation up. It was the devil and our own weakness, our own lust. Come on, let's be honest. Let's stop blaming heaven for hell's activity. Okay? You can. You're not the first to face it. You can face it. God's there. He will not allow a circumstance to be created that does not have a way of escape. He's a prayer away. Pray. Watch. Okay? Watch and pray. And in that moment, remember, you've got a choice. I'm either going to join the devil and do this, or I'm going to join God and get away from this. Decide whose side you're on. And by the way, also remember, there's always going to be somebody that's influenced by your decision. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Temptation's difficult. Temptation's a part of life. I know at times it can seem so overwhelming. Church, listen to me. My brother, my sister, please listen to me. I understand it. Sometimes it can seem so strong and overwhelming that it seems like we don't have a choice, but I hope the scriptures have helped you this morning. Preacher, I'm trying. I really mean it in my heart of hearts. I want to live for God and I want to do right. But it just seems like the devil's been beating the tar out of me lately, and I'm losing more than I'm winning. Come on. Come on. Preacher, I just need God. I just need his help. I needed to know that he's there for me. I needed to know that he loves me. I needed to know that he's got a way of escape for me. And I needed to hear some of the wisdom that'll help me to go out this week and face whatever I am going to have to face. I pray that you'd be wise. Some of you need to change crowds. I mean that. Some of you need to get off the internet. Stop letting a bunch of pagans influence you. Some of you need to stay away from these little nests of backsliders and heathens. Some of you need to stay away from people that are giving you access to things that you shouldn't be involved in. Some of you men need to go home and let your wife type in a password for you. It's not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of strength. Come on. I'm not walking down that road. I know who's waiting at the end of that road anymore. I've been down that road so many times, got beat at the end of that road so many times. I'm not walking down that road again. You need to understand God's there for you, and he loves you. Preacher, I feel a bit like a failure. Oh, this message wasn't preached to make you feel like a failure. It's preached to teach you how to be a victor. You can be a champion for Christ. You can face whatever you need to face. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would use, Lord, this message, please. That it would be a help in our lives and a strength to our lives, Lord. And there may be that Christian, dear God, that's just mired in sin. And I know the feeling of helplessness that can come with that. I can't win. I hope that they understand this morning that they can win. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. They can live the victorious Christian life. They can get things right with you. They can start a new chapter of their lives. They can be conquerors for the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, that you'd help our young people. Lord, they live in such a wicked world. And it seems like there's so many ways that the devil sets so many traps. And he seems to have increased access to our young people. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help them. They have to be wiser. They have to be smarter. They have to be more diligent than maybe any other generation that's lived before them. May they be sensitive to your spirit and watchful. Lord, I pray that you build a hedge of protection about each and every one of our young people and put it within their heart that they want to do right. Lord, I pray these things in Jesus' name. Let's stand to our feet, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We're going to let the piano player play. The message has been for Christians.